Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Friday on the Savage Nation, TGIF. Thank God we made it through another week. Well, almost anyway. What a week it's been. What a week it has been. As you know, I was out last week. I had communist bone tissue put into my mouth. We did a film review on Public Enemies, the worst film I've ever seen. I asked if the bone was speaking or I was. We talked about, do you have voter remorse? We talked about Obama being a baby dictator who'd like to grow into a daddy dictator. We talked about Turban Durban moving terrorists to Illinois and things of that nature. And today we're going to talk about science as opposed to fiction. Now, what more do you need to know about the so-called climate conference in Copenhagen than the following? One of the world's worst dictators, Mugabe of Africa. Mugabe, a man who has destroyed his nation, is in favor of climate control legislation. Chavez, a dictator, is in favor of climate control legislation. Fidel Castro, a murderer, is in favor of climate control legislation. And here we have the dunces of the West dancing to their tune. This is crazier by the minute. So today, Junior Doc goes there. Junior Doc Obama goes there, and listen to clip one.
All of you would not be here unless you, like me, were convinced that this danger is real. This is not fiction. It is science.
It is science. Well, Mr. Obama, I know a little bit more about science than you do. You're a politician. Let me tell you something. Mr. Obama, science is based on facts, not politics, Mr. Obama. And to say that all scientists agree is unto itself a lie. First of all scientists agree on almost nothing. So unto itself, the statement is absurd. But when it comes to climate science, there's great debate, my friends. And so, my friends, let me tell you something. One of the finest articles on this subject can be found from England in the Telegraph up on michaelsavage.com by one of my favorite polemicists, Gerald Warner. And he says, the Copenhagen Climate Summit is the most important paper in the world, is nothing more than a glorified UN press release. Here's how he puts it. When you attempt at recreating the Congress of Vienna with a third-rate cast of extras, and it turns into a shambles when the data with which you have tried to terrify the world is daily exposed as ever more phony, when the blatant greed and self-interest of the participants has become obvious to all beholders, when those pesky polar bears just keep increasing and multiplying, what do you do? And he goes on to what they've done. And what they've done is they come up with a lie about an apocalypse that's about to come over the world. And he said, this has marked the beginning of the landslide that is collapsing, the whole imposture of global warming. The pseudoscience of global warming is a global laughingstock, and Copenhagen is a farce. Now listen to this line, because I didn't know this till today. In the warmest camp, the main man is a railway engineer with huge investments in the carbon industry. Did you hear that? In the warmest camp, the main man is a railway engineer with huge investments in the carbon industry. That says it all. The world's boiler being heroically damped down by the fat controller. Al Gore, occupant of the only private house that can be seen from space. So huge is its energy consumption, he wanted to charge people $1,200 to be photographed with him at Copenhagen. There is a man who is really worried about the planet's future. If there were not $45 trillion of Western citizens' money at stake, this would be the funniest moment in world history. What a bunch of buffoons, he writes. Not since Neville Chamberlain tugged the Claridge's luncheon bill from his pocket and flourished it on the steps of the aircraft that brought him back from Munich has a worthless scrap of paper been so audaciously hyped. Though there was one good moment at Copenhagen, and he writes about it. So we know it's a fraud. We know that it's all fantasy. What more do you need to know? What more do you need to know than the following? Mugabe is in favor of global warming money. Hugo Chavez, the dictator, the buffoon. The buffoon Hugo Chavez, he wants the money. Danish thugs in the street. The streets of Copenhagen with red bandanas with hammers and sickles, not shown by CNN. Shame on you, Mr. Klein, Mr. Little Man of CNN. Snow on the ground in Copenhagen. Snow on their filthy bicycle seats. At least they'll get cleansed. It's unbelievable to me. Have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever seen anything like this? Well, it gets worse. It gets worse. Obama goes on and on. And listen to clip 9, how religious he gets.
With courage and faith, I believe that we can meet our responsibilities to our people and the future of our planet. Thank you very much.
Tepid applause, Citizen Kane. With courage and faith now. Now it's faith. It went from science to faith to save the planet. Now, I have a question for you. If so much is at stake, $45 trillion, wouldn't you think we'd want to debate this? Wouldn't you at least want to hear both sides of the argument? Wouldn't you want to see the arguments that show that the whole thing is a fraud and both camps get to argue with the UN equal time before you make a commitment like this? It's the same thing from this gangster regime, whether it is health care reform being done in the middle of the night by gangsters, whether it's Harry Reid voting at midnight, whether it's Nancy Lugosi stealing money like it's being minted because they're minting it for her cronies who are going to benefit. People say to me, where's the money in the health care bill? How come they all want it? I said, don't you understand what this is? This is stealing one part of the health care system for their friends called the insurance industry. It's stealing the private insurance industry and turning it over to others who are friends of the Democrats who have their own insurance companies who are going to get all of the business. Don't you understand it's called steering? Don't you understand how patronage works? Don't you schmucks understand that gangsters have taken over the country? That the Democrats today are a gangster party? Don't you get it? Despite all of their high rhetoric about saving the poor and saving the planet, it's all about stealing money. Do you understand that? Play Come Go Again. Come Go With Me, whatever you're playing. I want to hear rock and roll. I'm sick of this. That's all. What do you want me to do? Why the globe is not warming. 100 reasons why the globe is not warming is written by Phil Brennan today. And he's talking about the European Foundation, which has chronicled 100 reasons humans are free from any blame for alleged global warming. You ready to write this down? Are you ready for it? One of the most important disclosures is that despite a huge surge in recorded CO2 emissions after World War II, global temperatures fell for 40 years after 1940. Moreover, all through the Earth's history, temperatures often have been warmer than now, and CO2 levels often have been more than 10 times as high, and the planet's climate has changed numerous times throughout history. How much more do you need to know to understand that the claim that CO2 is the most common greenhouse gas is a myth? How many times do you have to hear this? It's a lie. Moreover, the poles of the Earth are not warming. Although the Western Arctic may be getting somewhat warmer, did you know that the Eastern Arctic and Greenland are getting colder? Did you know that? They're showing you a snapshot, not the moving picture. And so if you want to be lied to, go ahead and listen to these gangsters called Democrats. I've had enough of this. It is total scientific guano. You know what guano is? It's the white stuff that birds drop on the side of a cliff. The science was rigged up by these gangsters in these universities who were out to get a fortune off this. They should go to jail. Their grants should be taken back. They should be forced to clean the guano off statues of greater men than themselves. How did this country fall to such a level that a charade artist like Obama could be president number one, and that the Democrats are overt gangsters running a regime could get away with this malarkey. Play another rock and roll song. It's Rock and Roll Friday. I'm gonna, you know, the show will be over. I'll go out for
one,
a drink.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
That's not
rock.
Bad, Alan.
5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon.
Bogus science, bogus grafts, all sham. The whole thing is a sham. No peer-reviewed anything. Nothing to do with peer-reviewed literature. Nothing at all. Bogus graphs, bogus science, complete fraud. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, San Diego. Jack, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. DeSant. I wanted to first note that the very people who are funding Copenhagen are Dutch Royal Shell, ExxonMobil, BP. It is absolutely an insane...
Well, why would the oil companies fund Copenhagen, do you think?
Oh, of course they want to shut themselves down. Oh, wait, maybe it's the same thing that Clinton did in Utah with the coal that he shut down. It's a complete garbage fraud. But I also want to throw a little inspiration your way, just in case any of your listeners think there isn't anything that's being done. I'm one of your listeners who's under 30, and there's a group actually that's out there. I'll give you the name if you want it. But they've been confronting Al Gore 2 weeks ago. The fraudster went all around the country trying to promote his global warming faux religion.
What more do you need to know than one of the worst dictators on the planet, Mugabe of Africa, is in favor of global warming bills because of the money that would flow to African dictators like himself? Why would Chavez, the monster dictator, the buffoon Mussolini of our time, want the global warming bill to pass? Why would Fidel Castro, the killer, the murderer, the executioner, want the global warming bill to pass? So the worst people on the planet want it, along with the stooges of the West. Thanks for the call. It's unbelievable to me. I've given you the facts. It's communism by another name. I told you before that environmentalists are green on the outside but red on the inside. I told you that. I said it to you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Need to know than the mass murderer Fidel Castro mocks Obama for being too weak at Copenhagen. Now, here's a mass murderer, Fidel Castro, a dictator for 38 years, I don't know how many years. I want you to listen to what Agence France-Presse, these leftist scum, what they write about Castro. Listen to what the leftist scum at AFP write. Veteran Cuban leader Fidel Castro, instead of dictator Fidel Castro, instead of communist dictator Fidel Castro, nothing. Veteran Cuban leader. Do you hear this? That would be like saying veteran Soviet leader, Joseph Stalin. Veteran Roman leader, Caesar. So he attacks Obama for being too weak. You hear this? This is what's going on. It's a communist revolution you're watching in front of your eyes. The press is already 99% there. That you understand. That's how these gangsters get away with it. All right. That's the story. That's how I see it. Pennsylvania, Joanne, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my phone call. I am a huge fan of yours and a huge fan of you because you are the truth. And that is what's different from about you from other news.
Well, I don't have to compare myself to others. I just got to tell you something. I am blessed with a great education. And I will tell you, as a man with fairly good credentials in the sciences, there is no man-induced global warming. Period. End of story. I mean, what more do you need to know than people like Mugabe, the dictator of Africa, is in favor of such a bill because it would take money from your pocket and give it to him so he can continue to oppress his own people? What more do you need to know than Hugo Chavez, the buffoon and gangster of his nation, wants this to pass? I mean, what's going on in this world if people don't see it with their own eyes? Common sense tells you that there is no man-induced global warming. I'll say it to you again for the 90,000th time. I've been telling you this for several years now. Let's say you only went to the fifth grade. Let's say you have Al Gore's education level in science and you went to the fifth or fourth grade. And let's say your father was a coal man, which Al Gore's father was, and you made your fortune in coal working for Occidental Petroleum and then Occidental Coal, and you grew up making a fortune on coal, and then you figured out like the pig slaughterhouse. I think it was, I forget which one. He said, we sell everything but the squeal. So Al Gore's family made its original fortune working in oil and coal. And then the baby Gore comes along, and after inventing the internet and writing Love Story, he decides, wait a minute, my father made his money selling coal. I can make money selling carbon credits. I'll come up with a cockamamie story called Global Warming, and I'll peddle it, and I won't debate anybody. I'll put out movies that scare children. It's unbelievable to me how this goes on. The country is bankrupt, and we got Junior Doc Obama trying to give away even more money that he doesn't have. You got Hillary Clinton promising $100 billion to the most vulnerable nations. Well, I got news for you, Hillary. America is one of the most vulnerable nations. What world are you living in, Hillary Clinton? What world are you living in, Hillary Clinton? America is now one of the most vulnerable nations because of people like you. We're vulnerable. We're about to lose our freedoms. I got a news story to tell you on the show that I'm going to break right now. As you know, Hillary's friends in England banned me from Britain for things that I allegedly said. Now, even if I had said them in the way they said I said them, which I didn't, we have freedom of speech here in the United States of America. Well, Congressman Culberson wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton a while ago demanding that she intervene to get my name off the list. We got the letter back from some sub-moron in the State Department who works for Hillary Clinton who said fundamentally, we agree that Michael Savage should be banned for speech we don't agree with in England. So in other words, Hillary Clinton is now on record saying that speech should be criminalized. Mark it down. Michael Savage says we have evidence that Hillary Clinton wants to criminalize speech in the United States of America the way it has been criminalized in England. In other words, your very freedoms are at stake. Your very freedoms are going to disappear in front of your eyes unless you stop this gang, this regime under Barack Obama. This is a regime, and we are the most vulnerable nation on earth who could lose our Constitution and our Bill of Rights unless baby Doc Obama is resisted every step of the way. I'll be right back with a real climate expert right here on the Savage Nation. I don't
have it. Savage.
Over more than three decades, I've been privileged to talk with some of the world's most eminent experts on climate change and environmental issues, and to listen to the wisdom of some of the world's indigenous people.
Wisdom. All right, knock it off already with the hogwash. Wisdom. They all have wisdom. They live in the palaces, and they all can't get the wisdom. They love to go to talk to toothless people in Bengal. That's Prince Charles, the fellow with large ears who's never worked a day in his life, who's convinced that we have global warming, and he flew there on a private jet to prove it. Joining us now is an actual climate scientist. In fact, he's so distinguished that the warmest hysterics threatened to kill him the next time they saw him. Patrick J. Michaels, senior fellow in environmental studies with the Cato Institute. Great credentials. Dr. Michaels, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Can you believe Prince Charles believes that the issues have been resolved?
I don't think so.
Now, you know as a scientist that virtually nothing in science is 100% agreed upon, let alone this whole hypothesis of man-induced global warming. There's great debate, is there not? Are there not hundreds of legitimate scientists who debate this?
Oh, yes, all over the place. And the problem is, you know, I had to, not to mean it too many entendres, but it's a matter of degree. the question is not whether or not the planet's warmer than it was 100 years ago. It's how much of that warming is a result of carbon dioxide going in the air.
Well, let's start with the basics. Let's tell the listeners how hot the Earth is, how much heat has been. So it's a 0.7 degree centigrade increase in the average global temperature during the past 100 years. Is that correct?
I would have 5 years ago said that. Now, I would put larger error bars around that.
Oh, so even that's too high?
Well, one of the things that Ross McKittrick and I published and that people were crabbing about in the East Anglia emails was that it appears that maybe as much as half of the warming in the land records, the Earth being only 30% land, is not true warming. It's due to the fact that there might be cities, or due to the fact that we've changed the cover, the way the land is covered from, say, a forest to a farm. That makes quite a bit of difference. And so there seems to be a little extra warming from that. And then
isn't it true that there's just 60 scientists who support this, not 4,000?
The thing is, again, it's a matter of degree. How many scientists believe that this is the end of the world issue? Not very many. How much press do they get? Almost all of it. Okay. How many scientists believe that the planet's warmer than it was and human beings have something to do with it? That's a pretty vague statement. I would say a large number of scientists believe that, and I would include myself in that group.
Now, you know, last night, as I said, it was snowing in Copenhagen. I said I thought God was mocking the conference attendees by sending a blizzard down upon them. I mean, the whole thing, if you look at it for 100 years from now, assuming that the West even survives with the dunces running things, this will be looked upon as one of the silliest ages in the history of a supposedly advanced civilization.
I want to see the president's approval ratings on Monday morning when tomorrow they announce that there was an agreement on global warming at Copenhagen, and Washington, D.C. is going to be incapacitated by a howling blizzard. It is quite possible that Washington is going to set its December snowfall record in this storm.
But, Professor Michaels, won't the warmists, the hysterics, claim that's a result of global warming, that the snow is a result of warming?
Yeah, those are the same people, I would think, who would say if you put hot water in the ice cube tray, it freezes faster, too.
Now, where are the billions of dollars that Hillary Clinton promised for the most vulnerable nation supposed to come from? I would suspect that this country is one of the most vulnerable nations, vulnerable in regards to freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's beginning to look that way. And I will tell you that there's just a lot more diversity of opinion on climate change than is being let out in public.
Are they allowing critics to speak in Copenhagen?
I don't think they were allowed at the conference venue.
Were you invited as a scientist who is well respected in the field? After all, you're a reviewer of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. You're actually part of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. Isn't that true?
Well, I guess so. But you know,
and, wait,
I mean, so,
and you weren't invited to give a speech?
Oh, no, I went to one of these and. What happens, even if a so-called skeptic, that's an odd name for me, goes up and gives a talk and schedules a talk, no press will show up. That's their way of, it's the world's environmental press's way of shunning anybody that doesn't believe what it
believes. That's amazing to me. Well, I knew that the press was controlled by Bolsheviks, but you would think some of them would have a modicum of decency left in them.
I went to one of these meetings. One of these so-called Conference of the Party meetings. I went to the one in Geneva, I believe it was in 1996, and Fred Singer and I had scheduled to give a talk in the building where the meeting was. Two reporters showed up. Two. Count them. Two.
But they all came to hear Prince Charles speak of the issues, I'm sure.
Sure they did.
Yeah.
And
what's interesting that you hold a Ph.D. in ecological climatology from University of Wisconsin and earlier degrees in plant ecology, and in that some of my background overlaps in that. You know, I'm an ethnobotanist in an earlier phase, an incarnation of my career. I've collected widely in the South Pacific. I had mentioned that the last time we spoke. And plant distribution patterns, without getting too specific or scientific, wouldn't plant distribution patterns have altered drastically if we had such warming, as they say?
They would in some cases, not in all cases. But, you know, we had this thing called an ice age. That obviously affected the plant distributions.
Yeah.
Not a lot of extinctions of plants after the end of the ice age. There were some extinction of large mammals in North America.
Well, one of them survived. The mammal known as Gore survived in Tennessee. But Dr. Michaels, to be serious now, let's talk about the ice ages. For the average person who's listening, all of this is very complicated. I've broken it down in the following way. Tell me if this is too simplistic or this holds water for you. We've had, what, six or seven known ice ages historically, or there more?
Well, that depends on your time frame. If you're talking about the recent spate of ice ages, I think we could say at least four.
Okay, let's say four recent. When you say recent, you mean going back how many eons?
Half years.
How long?
1.5 million years.
All right. 4 ice ages in the last 1.5 million years. They came and they went without any industrialization to force the ice to retreat. So what would have forced the ice to retreat if it wasn't mankind? It would have to be external factors, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And it's very, very hard in your mind to get the ice to retreat. It's very easy to make an ice age because you make the Earth whiter and it absorbs less solar radiation. But to get rid of that big white ice mass means that the Earth, there are some internal oscillations in the Earth climate system that drive it to an equilibrium that are exceedingly, exceedingly powerful, and they are very, very large.
Okay, but let's stick to the basics again. Here's common sense. This is basic fifth grade science. We've had at least 4 ice ages over the last 1.5 million years. They all came and they went prior to man's industrialization, prior to the invention of industrial factories in Europe, prior to the invention of the internal combustion engine. So what in the world more does a person need to know than that to understand that man is not that powerful?
Well, one has to know that you could put greenhouse gases in the air, carbon dioxide, and you're going to change the temperature some. The question is how much and how fast. And I can tell you the only way that people do this, estimate this, is with computer models. And those computer models simply did not anticipate that the Earth would go through a decade-plus long period with no warming in the early 21st century. So you don't have models that are very good at all.
Oh, you mean the model based on the year 2000 to 2010 was a little off?
Yeah, a little off, like a lot off.
You mean we're in a little global cooling?
Well, it's been constant, really, for most of the last decade. But the computer models do not anticipate that. You can look at the United Nations. They actually draw out all the computer models and colored spaghetti diagrams. You try and find 15 years in any one of those spaghetti diagrams with no warming in it, you're not going to be able to do it.
I note that I read today that despite a huge surge in recorded CO2 emissions after World War II, global temperatures actually fell for 40 years after 1940, and that all through the Earth's history that's known, temperatures have often been warmer than now, and CO2 levels often have been more than 10 times as high. So how in the world, with this basic understanding of science, can these people get away with this rubbish?
Well, they're going to tell you that, you know, for most of that 100 million years, there was very little ice in Antarctica, and sea level was a lot higher than it is now. But you got to go back into the interglacial periods, the ones between the recent glaciations, to see what happened. And yes, sea level rose as ice was lost, but it took a long, 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 long time, Michael. These guys go around thinking this is going to happen overnight or in 100 years, which is the blink of a geology.
Wait, Professor, you've got to listen to Prince Charles as he gives you an exact date. Wait, this is the best part. Please listen to clip 33. This is worth hearing.
For the grim reality is that our planet has reached a point of crisis, and we have only 7 years before we lose the levers of control.
Let's stop. Where does he know it's only 7 years? Does he consult a fortune teller in Buckingham Palace?
I have not a clue, but at least he is doing one thing right. About 3 years ago, they started going around saying we only have 10 years before we lose control. There's no real basis for that. Now they've cut it down to 7. Pretty soon it's going to be 0, Michael. And guess what? Then what are they going to say?
Oh, you mean they gave us 10, now it's 7. So what happens when it's sort of like the Y2K phenomenon.
Yeah. In 7 years, if we're all going to die, if we don't do anything in 7 years, then we're not going to do anything in 7 years. Then maybe they can just shut up and we can be like on the beach and have a good time.
Well, that's why I have a residence in San Francisco and one in Florida, because I figured if we do get the global warming they're talking about, Florida will become the new San Francisco, and at least I'll be feeling at home.
Yeah, and maybe San Francisco will finally warm up.
Well, look, the Western Arctic may be getting warmer, but isn't it true that the Eastern Arctic and Greenland are getting colder?
Greenland was getting colder through the late 1990s, and you've got to remember, we don't have very many weather stations in Greenland.
Why is it called Greenland? Isn't it because it was once a very fertile agricultural area?
It was obviously greener than it is now, okay? there are very few weather stations in the interior of this gigantic island. The one that is of interest that has been there actually shows cooling. in recent decades since it was put up, not warming.
That's pretty amazing. Why is it that common sense is so resisted by the scientific frauds? And why is it that when people see dictators like Mugabe, Chavez, Castro screaming about global warming, they can't put two and two together here?
Start applauding and screaming like a bunch of crazy people.
Let's be real about here. This has been a disaster, hasn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, nothing was achieved, right?
Nothing but a lot of greenhouse gas emissions were achieved. That's
Prince
all.
Prince Charles has a very nice jet, by the way, provided by the taxpayers who were filched over there. They all flew in on private jets. It must have cost an awful lot in greenhouse gases, don't you think?
Hey, it was the annual emissions of several countries on the Earth were spent at going to Copenhagen and participating in Copenhagen.
So how has your career moved on since they've threatened you with beating you to death the next time they saw you, because you were one of those who found that the fraudsters had cooked the books?
Well, I just maintain my sense of humor and tell the story as I see it and write books and continue.
But why are they not driven out of the universities and their grants recovered, their property seized? This was massive fraud.
State gets $750 million a year of research support from Washington, D.C. This doesn't even count the in-state budget.
Wait, which state is this?
Penn State, Pennsylvania.
Oh, so of course it's like everything else. It's a matter of money.
This guy Jones at the Climate Research Unit had $22 million just since the turn of the century. One principal investigator. These universities depend upon this money. Do you know what's called overhead at a university? When
yes.
you apply for $100,000 in salary and fringe benefits to be funded for some researcher, you actually pay $175,000 to $200,000, and the rest goes to the university. Why?
I was once in the science business, and I saw how corrupt it was, and I got into radio.
Can't afford to pay the English department. And so global warming is keeping the humanities departments afloat.
I'm laughing because it gets more absurd by the second.
These guys are going to have internal investigations of ClimateGate at Penn State and East Anglia. Do you think they could possibly be objective?
Of course not. They won't have any skeptics investigating. They're going to do what the 9/11 Commission did.
Have this, the English department would be dead.
Well,
unfortunately,
you should consider a career as becoming a science commentator for radio. Maybe we'll get some sanity in the radio business. Look, Professor Michaels, it's such a pleasure to have you on and to bring sanity where there is so little to the airwaves. I want to thank you again for bringing attention to the obvious. And I want to review for the average listener who, let us say, didn't have the advantage of an education. Would my analogy of the previous ice ages coming and going without mankind's inducement be a fairly good way for them to take this home?
Yeah, well, you're going to have to understand the climate is a very variable thing.
In other words, it varies because of forces other than mankind.
Yes, and also.
And by the way, let's be clear here. As an environmentalist myself, in the sense, in the truest sense, a conservationist, I'm totally against pollution. I've worked most of my adult life to try to clean up the air, waters, and places. I've also given money to animal rights groups all over the planet, including elephant funds that save elephants and gorillas. And so, therefore, I'm in favor of that. But we don't have to do it with fraud, do we?
No, you don't have to do it with exaggeration. The problem is that what shows up in the ClimateGate stuff is that these people simply did not tolerate any deviation from the disaster scenario. They will go after people who write papers who say that human beings are causing some warming, like me. But if you don't say it's the end of the world, if you say it's really not that big a deal, and here's why, you just get creamed. By this group of people.
Well, I think that my listeners, who number in the millions, really appreciate your work. What's the best book you've written that they can find tonight?
Climate of Extremes, Global Warming Science They Don't Want You to Know.
Climate of Extremes by Pat Michaels. Buy it. Professor Michaels, thank you for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Can't we be sweethearts? Why don't we fall in love right from the start? You're the girl I'm thinking of.
So Junior Doc Obama goes to Copenhagen, sounds like a stale wafer crumbling in the sun, gets tepid applause like in Citizen Kane, while Iranian troops seize an Iraqi oil field. You hear this? What's going on in this world? And I have to sit here and put it all together for you. I have to make common sense out of a crazed world. Ann in Portland, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I'm not sure where to start.
That's the way I like to put listeners in that position.
Well, I'm not a cut-to-the-chase person when I'm not on radio, so I don't know how we'll do here. I was telling them that I've been listening to you, I think, since the primaries, and I have been listening to NPR for years and years, and I was just so ready to throw the radio or my head, hurl it against the wall, that I changed the dial.
Now, the reason you don't like NPR, why? It's predictably left-wing and full of itself, is that it?
No, I think it's changed over time because this has been around 12 years now, and I think they've dumbed down NPR.
It is what it is. It's got a bias. They don't let anybody speak who doesn't, you know, meet their doxies. It's sort of a religion, a pseudo-religion. It's sort of like listening to Vivaldi music and thinking you're sophisticated. Anne, thank you for listening to The Savage Nation and discovering it. I'm sending you a free copy of Banned in Britain for being such a new listener and so loyal to the program. When I come back, we'll talk about all the topics of the day, including the blizzard that's about to hit Washington before Junior Doc arrives back on Air Force One. Let us pray that Junior Doc gets back before the blizzard hits Dulles.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That Junior Doc Obama gets back to Dulles before the blizzard hits so that he can give a speech about global warming in time for the morning breakfast. Now, this is all going on while Iran has invaded Iraq and taken over an oil well with, 1.2 billion barrels of oil? You hear this? Iran has seized an oil field in Iraq with its military and Junior Doc Obama is giving a speech about vulnerable nations and pledging money, and this is after the health scam. It goes on and on. I've never seen anything quite like this. The communists in Copenhagen are dancing in the streets. Of course, they're not happy because they haven't yet broken the back of freedom across the West. Told you this week that environmentalists are green on the outside but red on the inside. I told you you don't need any more evidence than the fact that the dictator Hugo Chavez and Mugabe, the dictator of his nation in Africa, are against capitalism, in favor of socialism, in favor of you paying them money so that they can continue to enslave us. How much do you have to know? How much does it have to hit? You want the science behind it? I gave you the science in the last hour. I had one of the leading skeptics, a man who himself, by the way, was a member of the Nobel Prize-winning United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And remember, he was on the UN committee. But this guy has said most of the evidence is fraudulent. There is no global warming caused by mankind that is of any significance. And as a result, some of the others have threatened to beat him up or kill him the next time they saw him. That shows you what passes for science today. And then you have buffoons like Chavez, an ignorant paratrooper, and not all paratroopers are ignorant, but this is a peasant moron, a thug, an ignorant communist, getting up there saying, how dare you not pass a climate change bill? Because it means more money in his power, and of course, a movement more towards worldwide socialism and a lack of freedom for you. But I boiled it down for you in a simplistic way that is totally true. And you want to hear it? Shall I say it to you again and again and again until even the last one of you NPR socialist wobbly Bolsheviks gets it? Over the last number of hundreds of millions of years, 150 million years, there have been at least four ice ages. Each of them has covered most of the earth and disappeared prior to the development of industrialization, prior to the development of the internal combustion engine. In other words, prior to man's industrialization, the glaciers receded. What caused them to recede? Forces that we don't fully understand. Some say sunspots. Some say volcanic action. Isn't that enough evidence for you that temperature changes, that weather alters, that cooling and warming has been going on for eons on planet Earth? And don't you understand that this proves beyond a reasonable doubt that all of this is the hype of those who want to grab the world's economies by the throat, want to steal our freedoms from us and turn them over to a world government? What more do you need to know until you finally come to understand the truth? I know many of you don't want to know the truth. Many of you would not even comprehend what truth is because you have been brainwashed by the universities and by the media into not thinking at all. You can't reason. You're not lucky like I am. I was raised by a father who yelled at me if I didn't think for myself. I was raised the old-fashioned way. If I try to fudge with some answers, he would say, no, either it's this or it's that. Give me the truth on this. He was an Old Testament guy. Despite all the troubles we had together, he taught me how to think for myself. He taught me how to reason. If I didn't know an answer, he would say, Michael, now listen to me. Reason this out for yourself. I didn't even know what reason was when I was a child. Now let's speed the clock forward. And we come to this generation of children who were taught, don't think, just repeat. Groupthink says there's global warming. Groupthink says that the polar bears are dying. Groupthink says that rich people are evil. Groupthink says that all the poor are superior. The superior virtue of the oppressed. Written, by the way, by one of my heroes, Bertrand Russell. Many decades ago, The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed. It was such a brilliant title that I had to read it. And his argument was quite clear. I think you can pretty much figure out what he was saying. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. I need some rock and roll on the Savage Nation. Anything will do. Dealer's choice, 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com for all the stories we're talking about and more. That's it. Throw one out already till I don't gag already on my own breath. Chubby checker you picked for me. That's the best you can do? But there's no residuals for it. That's why you picked it. I break that record. I'm not in the mood for chubby checker. How about Shabup Shabup? I like Shabup Shabup. That reminds me of a submarine watching off Coney Island on the Belt Parkway with all of our favorite girlfriends of that era. This is too slow, but it reminds me of Love by the Sewer Plant. One of the great stories I wrote in my semi-autobiography called Psychological Nudity. Love by the Sewer Plant. It kind of has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Springland, New York, Ellenville. I don't know where it was. You say Ellenville, people get the impression. The Catskill Mountains were magical for me as a child. I haven't been there in 30, 40 years. Who would go there? Moish the Butcher with the chicken, with the meat, stories, the mind. You want me to start doing a free association? Play it louder. I'll give them a little something for their money, a little free associational fun. 1959, Plymouth Fury. Highway 17. The entire family's in the car, happy, undershirts. We come upon a wreck, still steaming on the roadside, bodies strewn all over the road. Next image, working in Moish the Butcher store. A crook from the lowest order, may God rest his soul. My aunt would go into the butcher store and warn me before she went in. I said, why are you wearing an overcoat in July? She said, because he's a crook. If I pick a steak out in the front cabin and I say, grind it up in the back, he puts the steak on a shelf and he gives me chuck instead of sirloin. So I bring my winter coat in the summer to go into the butcher store. That's how I first learned about reality and fakers. And here we are talking about the fakers of the world, the biggest faker of them all being the imposter himself, Junior Doc Obama. I'll be right back. This is The Savage Nation. Wow. Yeah, what a deluge in southern Florida. You hear about that one? Last year when I was down in Florida, they were talking about a drought. Everyone was going to die. The alligators were going to die. The crocodiles were going to die. The Everglades were going to dry up. Now everything's flooded again. Schmucks. Schmucks. The gangsters in the water business. Every time there's a little drought, the gangsters raise rates. But when there's a flood, like Noah's Ark, suddenly don't give you a dime back. The water gangsters. Play him. Would you raise it up there? Don't let anyone listen. Straight to her arms, so now, listen to this. While Junior Doc is flying back from Copenhagen into a blizzard, and let's pray for a safe arrival and pray he gets home to the White House before the blizzard really hits, you know. Iran invades an oil field in Iraq. You hear this? Takes over an oil field in Iraq with a billion barrels. And what do you think Junior Doc is going to do? What I'm afraid of is that Junior Doc will allow Iran to have Lebensraum the same way Chamberlain did permit Germany to have Lebensraum. In other words, when Germany invaded Poland and when Germany invaded Czechoslovakia, they said they did so not because they were bad guys. Hitler didn't invade Czechoslovakia because he was a bad guy. He said, we need living space, Lebensraum. And what did the weakling Chamberlain do? He said, okay, let him do it. We won't even defend Czechoslovakia. We won't defend Poland. And I believe that Junior Doc, who is a real tough guy when it comes to Americans on the right, will roll over like a wafer, like a dried wafer in the sun. Now, the fact of the matter is, Iraq is helpless. Iraq is helpless. They don't have a military. Iran knows that America will not go to war with them because we have a weak leader. And we know that Obama is shivering in his boots, knowing that he has no place to go and no idea what to do. You hear this? New York City, WOR, Gerard, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just thought it was ironic that when Obama's numbers were drastically falling, Oprah Winfrey decided to quit her talk show in 2011, just in time to knock Joe Biden off the ticket and let her run with the skinny one.
So the ticket in your mind would be Obama slash Winfrey. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that anyone who voted for Obama is not going to vote for him? Because who's going to vote for him who didn't vote for him because Winfrey is on the ticket?
Well,
who's he getting there? How does his demographic improve? You mean white people are going to vote for them all of a sudden because they love Oprah Winfrey? I mean, let's lay it on the line here.
Yes, white women will vote for Oprah Winfrey instead of Sarah Palin because they've been brainwashed.
Well, I have a different theory. I believe that a winning ticket would be Romney Palin. I figured it's too early to get into that. I think the winningest ticket for the Repubes would be a Romney Palin ticket. That's the only ticket that could win. As far as that jerk who released the killer, he's finished. That huckster, Huckabee the huckster, he's finished. Pawlenty, no one ever heard of him. I mean, I'll get into the prognostication in January. I don't want to go into it now. So you think it's going to be a ticket between the Junior Doc and the woman from television?
Could be.
Who knows?
I have another quick point.
Yeah.
I was wondering why Hillary was offering the $100 billion, and today I was looking at the back jacket of Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radical.
Right.
He was schooled by Saul Alinsky.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what does that have to do with the $100 billion for the dictators of the world?
Well, because they're taking down capitalism. And she's on board with them.
Oh, yeah, she's a communist. I knew it. You know, I thought that Hillary had changed when Bill started making money. I figured that they moved to the center because they got a taste of the good life. And they would become, you know, regular Americans. But I was wrong. When the people of Honduras threw out the communist dictator, she backed the return of the communist dictator. It was right in front of my eyes. And I thought I was the only one seeing what was going on here.
She didn't back.
All right, I need rock and roll. I'm going to burst the... Let me have a little old rock and roll so I could do some drifts here. Lebensraum for Iran. No, I don't want to hear that. That's too melancholic. I think of a plane crash. Did they die in the crash or was another group? They didn't? All right, still melancholic here again. I don't like it. Reminds me of peg pants that I can't get into anymore.
Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you.
Oh, that's Fats. Yes, that I like.
I do. And I'm saving all my love in jail for you.
I guarantee you he's a fan of mine. Anyone who could sing like this is not taken in by Daddy Longlegs. I can guarantee you.
Ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee. Baby, won't you give your love to me?
How about Blueberry Hill? I want to hear that. Then it's going to get into some storytelling. Yeah, I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. By this I like better. Because I've always liked blueberry muffins for some reason. I don't eat them recently because of the butter in them, but...
I found my thrill.
How could you not love this man?
On Blueberry.
Anyway, no, there's no grist here. There's nothing. What is today? I don't even know the year, the date. I don't know what year is this, Beowulf? I have forgot the year. 2009. Most normal people are buying presents, ding-a-ling, snow, Michael Corleone on Fifth Avenue, Bonwit Teller. I'm not doing any of that. I'm wearing an undershirt and schwitzing here in Florida where I am, visiting. Sweating in southern Florida with mosquitoes after the storm that came through here that's heading up the coast through Georgia and is about to land in Daddy Longlegs territory in D.C. I pray to God he gets there in time. Where are we now? What year is it? 2009. I did already global warming. There is none. That's the end of the story. 0.7 degrees over 100 years. They won the war. Play Prince Charles. We'll start with Bear. Let me bash Prince Charles, the idiot of the day. Let's hear the issues again.
Over more than three decades, I have been privileged to talk with some of the world's most eminent experts on climate change.
How do you dare even go to the bathroom?
And to listen to the wisdom of some of the world's indigenous people.
Hold on, I just love this. I love all these people live in palaces. They can't get enough of the wisdom of indigenous peoples. Now, when they say indigenous peoples, they mean some toothless charlatan sitting in some horrendous mud hut somewhere in the third world. They're going to sit there and listen to them. And let me see the witch doctor with a bone in his nose. I want to hear it. I want to hear the wisdom. Yeah, he needs the wisdom. Flies in on his jet, and he hears the wisdom of some toothless fool down there in a village. Yeah, we're wisdom. How could you take this? Here is a man who's never worked a day in his life. You know, I got to tell you, I'm an anti-royalist to begin with. Let me begin again. Let me begin the beginning. My father, my grandfather left Russia, then my father came later. They were born in a dictatorship, and they hated it. And they instilled in me was a disdain for royalty. Let's start with that. I don't like inherited royals. I don't like people who don't work. I don't like people of that nature to begin with. It's just in my blood. It's the way I am. Okay, let's start with that. So when Prince Charles came along, he said to me, my father's been dead a long time. He said to me, look at this inbred. I said, what do you mean, Dad? He said, it's inbreeding in the royal families. They all stoop each other, and they wind up with idiots like him. I said, how do you know he's an inbreed? He said, look at the ears. He said, this kid will amount to nothing. Now, he passed away, my father, in 1970. But the guy was, you talk about indigenous wisdom. My father had indigenous wisdom. He knew Prince Charles would end up the way he is. A nice suit. Tailored perfectly, but a moron of the highest order. How does he say things like this? You know, it doesn't mean because you come from a royal family, you're necessarily stupid. Some of them turned out okay. But most of them are idiots like him. But he knew because of the ears, he could see from the breeding that the genes clicked wrong, or maybe there was too much sherry one night during the seeding of the prince. You could see something went wrong down in the genetic bed. Something went wrong down there. And look how he ends up giving a speech like this. Play one more piece before I go out on a break here and go to the kitchen of the
studio. The grim reality is that our planet has reached a point of crisis.
Really?
And we have only 7 years before we lose the levers of control.
Wait.
As the president of Gabon said at a meeting I hosted last month.
Really?
The door to our future.
Listen to who he's quoting as a scientist now. The president of Gabon, you hear? The president of Gabon. There's a guy who looks for hookers every time he gets to the UN on your money, the president of Gabon.
Savage.
Boom, boom, boom.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation, trying to make sense out of an insane world. We got Junior Doc Obama, jamming health care reform down our throats when we all know it's a lie, it's going to cost more and insure less. And to show you what thin ice they're on, they're doing it in the middle of the night, holding votes at midnight like in a banana republic. Can you believe this? Then on top of that all, top of this, they go to Copenhagen, where the world's stupidest people are gathering in order to ensnare the entire world under the con of global warming. I had one of the world's leading scientists on in the last hour who was on the very UN committee that won a Nobel Prize for its work. But because he is a skeptic, they threatened to beat him up or kill him. He was on the show. We agreed on one thing. Let's say you didn't go past the fourth grade like Al Gore. Let's say your knowledge of science is at the level of Al Gore, let's say fourth or fifth grade. You basically know where America is, and if you had to, you could probably find out where Africa was on the globe. That's the extent of your knowledge of geography, but you're an expert on science and global warming. But let's say that's as far as you got in school. You could pick out Africa and the North American continents on a globe. But you're an expert on global warming, so we'll lay it down on the line for you. Four ice ages over the last 150 million years came and went before mankind industrialized, before man invented the internal combustion engine. In other words, prior to man's impact on the Earth at all, ice ages retreated. So how do you explain it? Can't you? You know, put aside your doxy for a minute. Let's say you're a fanatic progressive leftist, but you have a scintilla of self-respect left. Can't you put aside your doxy and say, you know, Savage, at least on this I agree with you? Or must you continue to push your rubbish, even in the face of the most absurd findings? I mean, it's unbelievable to me how you people have become so bad. I knew leftists in my day, but most of them were educated and somewhat reasonable. This crop of morons is beyond reason. This crop of progressives are nothing but street thugs, communists of the lowest order. And if they don't get their way, they go crazy. Because A, they can't think, and B, they don't want to think, and C, they don't want to be confronted with the truth. But I was raised differently. I was raised to think for myself. I was raised to reason. I was raised to figure things out using deductive and inductive logic, a trick of the white man. Inductive reasoning, as you know, is a trick of the white man. The ancient Greeks were all evil white males, and they taught the world a trick, how to reason. Now, if you think that reasoning is a trick of the white male, I would you should hang up right now. Don't listen to the show anymore. If you don't even understand what reason is, please don't listen to the show. Listen to Daddy Longlegs give you a speech. That's all. Listen to Junior Doc tell you about global warming while you're freezing your butt off. That's what you're perfect for you. Listen to the government media complex, the propaganda of the men without secondary sexual characteristics wearing suits and perfect ties on television telling you all the rubbish you need to know. But if you have a scintilla of reason left between your ears, why don't you try to reason with me, for God's sakes? How much rubbish can you take and buy from Axelrod, the street communist from New York who suddenly is running America? Or Rahm Emanuel, another prize of humanity? Either you agree with them or they threaten you to take away an Air Force base. That's your idea of a government? Tucson, Arizona, Rose, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Savage, I want to thank you because for the last 2 years you have been the source of truth. I'm grateful for your courage, that you exercise your First Amendment rights, and the loyalty and pride that you exude of this country. And besides
that's
that...
That's right, and I heap scorn upon liars and communists as often as possible.
And you're a whole person. When you read from the Old Testament, you really inspire me as well. And
you know, I don't have it with me. I'm on a little travel junket. I don't have the Old Testament with me. I left it home. So I haven't been able to read from the Bible this week, but I certainly know the Bible well enough to tell you I know a liar when I hear one. I know that Prince Charles is a fool when I hear him. I know Al Gore is a criminal, running a criminal enterprise, in my opinion. I know Obama is the biggest charlatan in the history of the presidency, and I'm sure in my bones that there is greater voter remorse after 1 year of his office, of him being in office, than ever in American history after 1 year for a president. I'm positive that if that election were held again today, even the shame McCain would win.
Yes, I believe that too, Dr. Savage. Now the people that were lauding his praises are not even there. They're like dogs with their tails between their
yes,
legs.
Yes, they're embarrassed. I heard that from other people because I've told them to over the last 6 months. Speak out on every supermarket line, but you do it nicely as you're checking out. I told you I knew a woman whose family built a very successful business who said that all through her career, wherever she went while she was building her business, she talked about her product, even on a supermarket line, because it paid. And she told all her salesmen to do the same. Well, it's the same with Junior Doc. In other words, I told you that when you go to a supermarket, you check out, you say, huh, look at that picture of Obama. You know, I voted for him, but the guy has turned out to be a real disappointment. And I said those pebbles in the sea of thought would change the view of this man. And I get people saying they're doing that, and people are no longer defending Junior Doc.
True. And I thank you for the courage and your leadership.
I don't have courage. I have foolishness because I'm dealing with a gang right now. I understand that. But remember, I'm banned in Britain. And today we got back a laughably insane letter from Hillary Clinton's State Department saying fundamentally that they agree that speech should be criminalized the way it has been done in England. Maybe I'll publish that letter so everyone could see who Hillary Clinton really is. That's the kind of help that Congressman Culberson got from Hillary Clinton's lackeys. They said, fundamentally, we agree with Britain that a certain speech should be criminalized. That's what's coming to America, by the way, under this regime that's in power right now.
We've got to stand up for our country. And thank you, because since I've listened to you, I've increased my knowledge and my vocabulary. And I want to take the opportunity to tell you how much I love your laughter and your great sense of humor.
Well, thank you for being kind enough to call the show. Thank you very much. Albany, New York. Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
How you doing? What's on your mind up there in freezing Albany?
Staying warm, Doc, to tell you the truth.
So, what's on your mind tonight?
I wish I had an uncle like you that I could just hang out with sometimes.
I'm the radio uncle of America.
You are.
I am the radio uncle of America.
Yep, I had.
I'm the firebrand uncle, as I've said it before. I may as well say it again now. I said, you know, I've been in radio 15 years. It was a late career for me. I've had many other careers, all successful, but this has been the most demanding and the most fulfilling in many ways. And I said that the reason my show has resonated in America is because I'm the uncle that used to appear at Sunday dinners when there still were such things in America. The tradition of the Sunday dinner where the family got together, there was always one uncle who was very argumentative, but he knew what he was talking about. And you'd argue with him, and you could never get the best of him because he always had better facts and he always could reason better. And you couldn't wait till the dinner was over, and you said, son of a gun, I can't stand him. But by Tuesday, Wednesday, you started thinking, you know, I can't wait for the dinner again. You missed the guy. That, in my opinion, is who I am in the American broadcasting landscape. Thank you for the call. Enjoy Albany's weather. I don't know how anyone could enjoy Albany's weather, but enjoy the weather in Albany. I don't even know. I remember Albany now. I'll bring another story up. Let me have a winter fantasy for a minute. I take you back, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a Christmas song. Give me like a Bing Crosby, Michael Corleone, Shopping with Kate on. Okay, Fifth Avenue, Snow, Mistletoe, Happy, Newsstand. Shopping with Kate, the snow is falling, snow hitting your face. So take you back to the times that I would drive up to Mount Snow to go skiing. Yes, inner city kid, and I don't know how to ski. I tried it a few times. I like the pants, the ski pants I like, but I was never good at skiing. I didn't have the time. I was always working three jobs. We drove up once, hit a blizzard in Mount Snow in Vermont, and for some reason I got a bug in my brain. I had to get back to New York. I don't know why. I wanted to go home in a blizzard. I just remembered it tonight because of the blizzards coming in up from the south, because in Florida, man, we get hit with like a Noah this morning. The Ark, all it was missing was the Ark, and it's going north and colder, blah, 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 more snow. And the point is, so I said, I'm going to go home in this blizzard from Mount Snow. And I remember driving to this day with a few other people in a car, and the wiper stopped working in a blizzard. For 2 hours, I had to stick my hand out of the window. Do you ever have one of those and you had a wipe in those days? Today, it would be 8 lawsuits. Every shyster from NYU Law would be suing that the wiper broke and he had a heart. He was later, his arteries went bad. He couldn't become a cop in New York as a result of it. I had to wipe the window the whole time we were going home while driving with the right hand. I'm sweeping with the left hand with a brush. Did you ever do one of those? Somehow I got home. I didn't need a GPS. It was a whiteout on the highway. I didn't know where the highway was, where the shoulders were. I truly don't know how we got home. I mean, maybe I used a guy like a star. I don't know what we did that guided us home. But we got home. We didn't need GPS. We didn't need a lawsuit when we got home. Oh, the wiper failed and I had stress. and I need lollipops, and I need therapy, I need closure. I didn't need closure. I was glad to be back in the slums of New York as opposed to the whiteness of Vermont. I couldn't stand it up there, another minute of the agoraphobia. It was so beautiful up there, the agoraphobia got to me. That's the problem with things that are too pristine. You wind up like Prince Charles. You can't think everything's so perfect. How does that man stand going to the bathroom when he realizes he's a human being? That's what I don't understand. Here is a man who's probably never worn the same underwear 2 days in a row. They probably burn it. The thought that the man has... I don't want to get too graphic. It's a family show. Play one soundbite for a minute. I'll show you what I'm talking about here.
Over more than 3 decades, I've been privileged to talk with some of the world's most eminent experts.
All right. Well, you get the picture, okay? The guy is so inbred that he's... So he doesn't wear the same underwear 2 days in a row, probably changes them 4 times a day like Al Gore changed undershirts during a speech because there's so much pressure inside. So, in other words, but they have to go to the bathroom. I'm trying to make this... You understand now, when a man goes to the bathroom, he has to finally come to understand he's a human being. He goes through what you go through, right? No, I don't know how Prince Charles could take the idea that he's a human being. So you go back in time. I'm going to show you the fantasy of global warming, what it's equivalent to in the medical world. Did you know that in the late 1890s, 1900 period, there was a time in British history where the so-called upper classes were convinced that their waste products were toxic and that the best way to get rid of them would be to have surgeons open up their bowel and give them a bag so they would never have to go to the toilet again. And colostomy? Yes. They all wore colostomy bags in their palaces and their mansions, and they'd sit around with the essence, the waste product, to put it nicely, seeping into rubber bags underneath their clothing, which their servants had to empty, but they never had to go to stool as a result. Now, as you well know, this was a fraudulent concept of toxic waste in the bowel, but it did not stop the upper classes from England doing this to themselves, the colostomy. Now, we have many medical procedures in America today that are the equivalent of the colostomy of the 1890s. That's a whole different show. But on a global level, global warming is an example of the same mythology. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore. All the lies we were told, all the lives of the people running round their castles are burned.
Well, the grim reality is that our planet has reached a point of crisis, and we have only 7 years before we lose the levers of control.
All right. You know, it's sad. You can mock the guy up to a point. He's just a rich kid, never worked a day in his life. You have to have sympathy for him. I know a kid like this, rich. We were poor, so anyone with a little bit more, the father owned 3 clothing stores, so he was rich. Our schmuck of the first daughter, the father never made him work. We had to work for the father because the kid was too stupid to work for him in his father's own clothing store. So the father loved us because we came from poorer families, and we were like, when the father, blah, blah, blah. Now, you take that to the nth degree, and what you have is Prince Charles. But my analogy before the break of colostomy bags amongst the British royalty and the rich of 1890, 1900 is 100% true. They were running on a myth that by getting a colostomy bag, they're being very scientific and advanced. And they had servants, no less, probably the grandfather of the president of Gabon, who is now one of the indigenously wise people, probably had to clean the colostomy bag for his ancestors to give you some idea of how the world has turned. And this is who's running the West now, weaklings and dunces. And you have the Hitler of Iran mocking us. You have the paratrooper, who's a repeat of Mussolini, mocking us and threatening us. And what we have here in this country and in England and in France, the playboy there, and then the other prize in Germany who we had such hopes for. Then you have Berlusconi getting hit in the face with a plastic can. The whole West is crumbling while the axis of evil is rising. Do you understand what's going on? It doesn't mean that I'm going to stop telling you what I see to be true right to the end of days. I'll keep telling it to you till they shut the show off. Well, God strikes me. That's it. What am I going to do? This is the way it is. This is the way the world really is. If I have to be the last man standing, I'll turn the lights out. Because I'm telling you right now, I have never seen such weakness and foolishness and criminality in my life like a plague over the West. In the midst of a blizzard, Junior Doc is flying back into Dulles, and people don't see the absurdity of this, flying back from a global warming conference. The bicycle seats of the prostitutes in Copenhagen covered with snow. No one sees the obvious here. Thank God the seats will be cleaner for the next crop of the free bicyclists over there. I know these people. I went to college with them. I saw them. I know what fraud artists these communists are. I know what dictators they are. I know that they would gladly kill 30 million of us if they had the power. Make no mistake about it. This is not a laughing matter. Just as Castro killed his own cohorts after he seized power, just as the early Bolsheviks killed half of the revolutionaries who came to power with them, I am warning you that there are people around this administration who would gladly, if they could, line up 30 million of us and put us into slave labor camps. You think that's too extreme a statement because you haven't heard it on Fox News? I got news for you. It's not extreme enough. I know how these people think. You don't know the mind of these people. I do. They're the most dangerous people in the history of America. And unfortunately, they have seized power. The czars who salute Mao Zedong, who killed 60 million of his fellow Chinese, they don't worry you. A president, so-called, who appoints czars who no one knows who they are, never passed an FBI clearance test. And I'll say it to you again until it finally seeps into the consciousness of America. Barack Hussein Obama would not and could not have passed an FBI background check to become an agent because of his associations with people such as Bill Ayers. Do you know that? His associations with guys like Bill Ayers, his associations with college types who were overt Marxist socialists, went to the Alinsky camp of thinking. He never could have become an FBI agent. Now he is the president of the United States of America. But no one remembers any of this. Is it too late to remind you who he is? I don't think it's too late. I think it's just the beginning. I think if more Americans started to question this man's background and this man's ability to govern and this man's statements, I think the better off this nation would be, because I believe that our very freedoms are threatened by Obama. And remember earlier in the week what I said to you. I don't have the time to play it again. Maybe we'll play it again for you next week. I'm sure we will. Or I think we're going to do it in the next hour, actually, as a matter of fact. I told you about Pol Pot in Cambodia. I told you who the Khmer Rouge were earlier on in the week. I told you about the 3 or 4 million skulls that ended up, that were then found or resulted in Cambodia under Pol Pot. And I told you who Pol Pot was. He started out as a quiet, meek college teacher in Cambodia. He went to Paris and he studied Marxism. He came back a stone-hearted Marxist and he started to indoctrinate the youth into the communist revolution that he wanted. He brainwashed the youth and 13 and 14-year-old children, peasants, stupid, like the gangbangers, let's say, in America, were given red bandanas and an AK-47, and they were told to round up anyone with eyeglasses. So they rounded up the teachers, the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers. In other words, the entire middle class was put into re-education camps, slave camps. They were tortured. They were raped. They were killed. And at the end of it all, this little college professor oversaw the killing of over 4 million of his fellow Cambodians, all in the name of social justice. Watch out the next time you meet a progressive, because if you could scratch away the skin, you'll see a death head.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. Here are the articles that made it to michaelsavage.com. Climate con run by Carbon Capos. That's my headline. Listen to what he writes from London, Gerald Warner. When the data with which you have tried to terrify the world is daily exposed as ever more phony, when the blatant greed and self-interest of the participants has become obvious, well, you get the rest of the story. When you get a communist like Chavez calling for controlling the world through the environment, you kind of get the picture of the communists in Copenhagen and the con. On the right side, Obama pick for being the ambassador to El Salvador is tied to La Raza and Castro's Cuba. Are you shocked? Anything is possible with baby Doc Obama. We read that Obama's lackluster speech fuels frustration at Copenhagen. I guess he's not become communist enough, fast enough. From Rasmussen reports, a new poll says that 57% say doing nothing is better than Obamacare. You hear this? Speaking of health care reform, Christian Scientists are seeking prayer provision. They want a provision that would pay for religious prayer as medical care. Religious and spiritual health care. Well, I hope they put that in there because I'll name myself a deacon in the Savage Church. Then you can all line up for a faith healing from Michael Savage and just think of the money we can make. If those of you haven't seen enough of this farce in Copenhagen, my headline is God Dusts Climate Fools with Snow. Take a look at the snow on the bicycles. ClimateGate, this time Al Gore lied. Gore's claim last week that the ClimateGate emails were insignificant relied on two main defenses that are so flagrantly wrong, it's not enough to say Gore is simply mistaken. No, Al Gore is a liar. There's another one. Doomsayers are ludicrous hypocrites, Stephen Glover, London Daily Mail says. I can't help wondering whether the real flat earthers may not turn out to be those like Prince Charles and Gordon Brown, who count the months to disaster while merrily generating more carbon dioxide on their private jets. Here's a sad one. The death camp Auschwitz, where a million Jews were worked to death or killed, had a sign on entry in German that said Arbeit macht frei. Cynical. It means work makes you free. It never made anyone free. The sign was stolen from the death camp memorial. And this is a shocker, not to everyone, but to me it certainly isn't. GOP's Graham is stumping for climate change. I knew this guy was a fat fraud from day one. After all, he's a trial lawyer. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Graham, the South Carolina Republican. He's actually joined John Kerry to drum up support for climate change research. What a phony Republican this one is. The war bill has survived a poisonous 1 a.m. vote. That's right. We've become a banana republic where votes are occurring at midnight and 1 in the morning. From ABC News, terrorists and drug kingpins are allowed to keep FAA licenses. Can you believe this? Mexico is cracking down on the drug gangs. They're shooting it out with them. Al-Qaeda seeks Muslim sisters to carry out jihad. You hear this? Muslim sisters are wanted to assist with jihad in suitably feminine ways. Oh, my God, what a distortion. How could you be kill people in a feminine way? Here's a big story out of California. California is losing people who make a living and gaining illegal aliens. Why? Taxes and crime. The population growth has stopped. The earners are moving to Nevada, to Washington, to Texas for taxes, and to get away from the illegals who are flooding in. Italian leader leaves hospital. It's very sad to see Berlusconi with a smashed-in nose and literally two broken teeth. I know how painful that is. I just can't believe anybody would be happy about this, but then again, I know many are. China is apparently unimpressed with Greenpeace. I have a picture on my website of a Chinese man pushing his motorcycle past the Greenpeace activist dressed up as an orangutan, pretending to forage for food in Shanghai, China. Tell that to the dogs in the cages in China. That's it from MichaelSavage.com. Washington Post. D.C. mayor to sign same-sex marriage bill at church. Los Angeles Times, California's population grows by less than 1%. What they don't tell you is that the population of earners has gone down, and the growth is coming strictly from illegals breeding babies for benefits. Washington Post, on climate, Obama's approval rating crumbles at home. No kidding. USA Today, energy-thrifty White House turns deeper shade of green. Oh, really? Puff piece. Washington Times, new credit card has 79.9% interest rate. And you thought Obama was going to clean it up, huh? USA Today, mom scorned, defended for tweeting after toddler drowns. How do you like that?
That's disgusting. She was tweeting while her baby was drowning.
San Fran Chronicle, Christian scientists seek prayer provision in healthcare bill. We covered that. I can't wait for that to pass. Spiritual or faith healing would be a great part of the Obamacare, as I said, Beowulf, because I could set up the Church of All Savages, and then I could do faith healing and get paid by the government. Wouldn't that be a wonderful irony?
Well, you've talked about opening a church before, doing Sunday sermons. Maybe this is the opportunity.
Yeah, I could do faith healing. I can cure. What if I could cure liberals by putting my hands on their head tell them that I could cure them and turn them into humans?
Be healed. You put your hands on the radio.
Yeah, don't be a heel, be healed. Washington Times, Wolf presses for new Black Panther probe. Frustrated by lack of response on voter intimidation complaint. You know the Black Panthers, the nice fellas with clubs at a polling booth being covered for by Obama's Attorney General Holder.
Nice gentleman there to keep security under watch, mm-hmm. No doubt.
Fox News, military officers warned of a flaw in U.S. drones in 2004, but they were ignored by the Defense Department under Robert Gates. If Bill Gates ran the Defense Department, we'd have a better Defense Department. I guarantee you it might make money.
Yeah, at least there'd be decent internet security.
From the Washington Post, 6 Gitmo Bay detainees to be returned to Yemen in one piece. Politico, Monica's back, says Clinton lied under oath. I guess she's run out of things to do. Fox News says a mistress of the French king, whenever he was alive, died from drinking too much gold.
Henry II, apparently.
Henry II was a French king?
That one was, yeah. There was a Henry II in both England and France.
Philadelphia Inquirer. Without table games, Pennsylvania layoffs loom again. Governor warns gambling expansion seen as critical. Don't you love that one?
Yeah, it's the one sector of the economy that's improving.
Yeah. Well, they should legalize prostitution and heroin, too. Then they could really have a balanced budget.
Oh, yeah. Lots of jobs in that.
New Jersey Star Ledger. Confiscated Peruvian tuna is a windfall for food bank.
Oh, I hope it's dolphin safe.
Denver Post. Plans for medical marijuana legislation take shape. Yeah, right. Some shape. Twisted shape. Denver Post, TSA test capability of nuclear detection devices at Denver Airport. Well, that's the newspaper roundup for Friday, December 18, 2009, right here on the Savage Nation. Don't miss the story, though, of stories. A new European group has given 100 reasons why the globe is not warming. You want to hear one of them? One of the more important disclosures that you won't hear coming from Prince Charles or Albert Corleone is that despite a huge surge in recorded CO2 emissions after World War II, global temperatures actually fell for 40 years after 1940. Moreover, all through the Earth's history, temperatures often have been warmer than now, and carbon dioxide levels often have been more than 10 times as high as now. And by the way, the planet's climate has changed numerous times throughout history. Tell that to Prince Charles. Those are the headlines for the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Well, it's Friday, and I've been talking about movies this week. Think hard about if you're planning on seeing a movie. It seems that every movie that comes out is filthier and more crazy or disgusting than the last one. Take a look at the evil that pervades Hollywood. Take a look at the sewer pipe that runs out of the newspapers. You pick up a newspaper, everything that is good is reviled. Everything that is evil is worshipped. You look at the most distorted minds of our generation, they're working in Hollywood. And what do? They glorify the sickest, most evil people on earth. take a look at womanhood. Take a look at it. Do you have to look any further than what happened to Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods is an example of what happens to people. He's not the only one who did that or does it or will do it or has done it. I understand that. But take a look at who's glorified amongst womanhood. Is it the married mother of one or more children? Or is it the sad sack single mother on government handout? Tell me who they glorify on daytime television. Is it the sanctified, beautiful, married mother who sacrifices all for her family? Or is it a sack of protoplasm that is dependent upon Uncle Sam? Just turn your television on, you'll see what they're glorifying. Wherever you turn, criminals and other miscreants are glorified by our society. There are many other people that can be glorified. And the audiences, by the way, would flock to movies about real heroes. I could name five people that could have been glorified instead of this bank-robbing, cop-killing bum, Dillinger, who's a nothing on the radar scope of American history. He's nothing. A blip. A garbage can. Garbage can. Pure white trash who stood for nothing but bad. I mean, there were guys like him with the guts and the guile that he, like him, who flew planes in World War II, commanded tanks, commanded ships, commanded men. Why are they not glorified? They have names. There are explorers who conquered the farthest reaches of Earth. Robert Byrd, Arctic explorer. Rasmussen, Arctic explorer. Doctors who have saved millions of lives, who had epic struggles to overcome an establishment that mocked them, wouldn't fund them. Real scientists as opposed to the phony kind that Obama and Al Gore specialize in, never glorified. When I was a kid, I went to a movie. I'd come out glowing over a movie about Louis Pasteur, or if you're a woman, Madame Curie. These were heroes. Heroes that children could look up to and would want to be like. There was a TV show called Ben Casey, M.D. Many of you listening to this show are doctors. You probably grew up watching shows like Ben Casey, M.D., and you wanted to be like Ben Casey. He didn't smile a lot. He looks like he's sweaty. He always needed a shave. He had a serious hangdog look about him. His eyes were full of concern. You wanted to be a doctor because of him. That's what you call about teaching role models, creating role models for children. Instead, they go to a movie where every picture shows somebody with a gun. Every picture, a real man blows another man's head off. You hear this and you wonder why you have inner city morons shooting each other. You wonder where they got it from. They got it from the geniuses in Hollywood. Where do you think they got it from? They got it from the geniuses in Hollywood that if you're a man, you have a gun and you shoot somebody for no reason. Americans should keep in mind what was going on in this country as recently as the 1970s. I know people in San Francisco who call themselves Americans who used to give out the Little Red Book. In fact, they republished his Little Red Book. The Little Red Book was used as a predicate to the killing of people with eyeglasses, for example. Anybody who was a member of the middle class was considered bourgeoisie, and they were killed. They were killed in China by the Reds, the Red Brigades. They were killed in Cambodia under Pol Pot by the Khmer Rouge. Millions of doctors, lawyers, teachers, accountants, in other words, the entire middle class was wiped out by Maoists in Cambodia under Pol Pot. And let me tell you something about Pol Pot that many of you don't understand who he is. You know, you never heard, maybe you heard of him. Pol Pot was a dictator who ran Cambodia. Remember the mountain of skulls that was uncovered in Cambodia? The death camps, they were worked to death. Mainly they were worked to death by children, 14, 13, 14-year-old kids who had been brainwashed by this Marxist dictator. They were given red bandanas. They were called the Khmer Rouge, meaning the red bandanas. And they were given guns, AK-47s with bayonets. And they were told to round up people who were against the revolution. That would be anybody with eyeglasses for these dumb, loser, low-life peasants, these children who knew nothing. And they were murderers like the gangs in America, the gangs that would kill for nothing. They were given a gun. They were given an insignia. And this gang of red bandanas was sent around Cambodia to round up the middle class, teachers, doctors, lawyers, accountants, businessmen, businesswomen, you name it. They were rounded up, and they were worked to death or they were killed outright. And, of course, that was well known at the time. It was a horrible time in history. And you say, well, what does that have to do with Obama? Let me explain why you should be worried, very worried indeed. Pol Pot was a professor. Pol Pot was a mild-mannered college professor who went to Paris from Cambodia to study Marxism. He became radicalized in Paris at one of the universities. He came back a devout Marxist, and he tried to institute Marxist values, so to speak, in his country of Cambodia. And so he created the Khmer Rouge, and then he left behind 3 to 4 million dead people, the Mountain of Skulls. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is ideas can be very, very powerful. Ideas can be very, very powerful indeed. Ideas can create cures. Ideas can create miracles on earth. And ideas can also create horrors that are unimaginable to the average American. We can't even imagine such a thing happening here. We would say it can happen here. I would argue it can happen here. And I would argue that only vigilance and resistance to this baby dictator and his band of terrorists can prevent this from occurring here. I'll repeat it. Only vigilance and resistance to this baby dictator, Barack Hussein Obama, can prevent the Khmer Rouge from appearing in this country. I, Michael Savage, will be right back.
Savage.
Well, it's time for our Friday Savage Audio Week in Review. On Monday, we did some comparisons.
We will seek a partnership with Afghanistan grounded in mutual respect, to isolate those who destroy, to strengthen those who build, to hasten the day when our troops will leave, and to forge a lasting friendship.
No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
Our overarching goal remains the same: to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and to prevent its capacity to threaten America and our allies in the future.
I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us.
America will have to show our strength in the way that we end wars and prevent conflict, not just how we wage wars. And we can't count on military might alone. We have to invest in our homeland security, because we can't capture or kill every violent extremist abroad.
Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
And this one.
You've got a family and there's an operation. Your wife and kids get killed, and I'm the Marine Corps here to help you. It's hard to make that connection.
The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly.
The whole civilian casualty issue, the rules of engagement that are associated with it.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
And if it goes well, it will serve us exceptionally well. And if it goes badly, it is that nightmare that I talked about before. Thanks for your time.
Some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty.
It seems our leaders today just don't match up, do they? Gore's poetry reminded me of the Coffeehouse Beat Poets.
One thin September soon, a floating continent disappears in midnight sun. Vapors rise as fever settles on an acid sea. Neptune's bones dissolve. Snow glides from the mountain. Ice fathers floods for a season. A hard rain comes quickly. Then dirt is parched. Kindling is placed in the forest for the lightning celebration. Unknown creatures take their leave on morn. Horsemen ready their stirrups. Passion seeks heroes and friends. The bell of the city on the hill is rung. The shepherd cries. The hour of choosing has arrived. Here are your tools.
Well, we also played another Teddy song. Then the issue of the Gitmo terrorists moving into Durbin's backyard.
For several years now, it's been clear that we need to close Guantanamo. It was a decision that was made under the Bush administration, a decision supported by the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, supported by General Colin Powell, General Petraeus, and President Obama. Part of the decision on closing Guantanamo is to decide where to transfer the remaining detainees. We estimate there'll be fewer than 100 that will be ultimately transferred out of Guantanamo. The president came forward and asked Governor Quinn and myself whether our home state of Illinois would accept that responsibility. We have looked at it carefully and closely, and we have done it with the understanding that time and again the people of our state of Illinois have risen to the challenge to serve this nation. We do it every day. Our men and women enlist in the military and risk their lives for this great nation. Time and again, we've done that. Illinois was the first state in the nation to build a federal supermax prison in Marion. We've done that before, and we're doing it again.
Can you believe this?
We believe this is in service to our country, to make certain that Guantanamo is phased out and the threat that it currently poses to us around the world is eliminated. But secondly, this is a great opportunity. Our state unemployment numbers, the most recent ones, were 11%. And in some parts of the state, like northwestern Illinois, even higher. People are desperate for good jobs. And the jobs we're talking about here are some of the best. Over 3,000 new employees in this area, half of them from local people who will be getting jobs with good paychecks and good benefit packages. These are jobs that you can use to build a family, build a neighborhood, build a town and a community. And that's what we need desperately.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, there have been some who've been critics of this. You've heard them. But we went to the source. We went to the people in the area who will be directly affected by this decision. The support for this Thompson prison is overwhelming, and it's bipartisan. At every level, as Governor Quinn has said, people understand that we can safely and securely hold fewer than 100 Guantanamo detainees and 1,500 or 1,600 prisoners in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. We can do this. We've done it before, and this will be the safest prison in America. President Obama made the right choice for our country. His home state of Illinois stands behind the president. We see this as a great opportunity to not only serve our country, but to provide meaningful jobs for a lot of people desperate for work.
Can you believe this is going on? In Copenhagen, Chavez the dictator took the stage to attack our way of life.
Calle de Copenhague.
A ghost running through the streets
y
of Copenhagen.
Creo que ese fantasma anda en silencio por esta sala.
That ghost is silent somewhere in this
entre
room.
Nosotros.
Amongst us.
Se mete por los pasillos, sale por
coming
debajo.
Through the corridors underneath.
Ese fantasma.
And that ghost
es un fantasma espantoso,
is
casi
a
nadie
terrible
quiere nombrarlo.
Ghost. Nobody wants to name him.
El capitalismo.
It's capitalism.
Es un fantasma.
Capitalism is that ghost.
Casi nadie quiere nombrarlo.
Nobody, I don't think, wants to name it.
El capitalismo.
Capitalism.
Cambien el sistema.
Don't change the climate, change the system.
No cambien el clima, cambien el sistema.
Don't change the climate, change the system.
Y yo la tomo para nosotros.
I take that.
No cambiemos el clima.
I take note of that.
Cambiemos el sistema.
Let's
y en consecuencia comenzaremos a salvar el planeta.
We'll begin to
el capitalismo, el modelo de desarrollo destructivo,
the
está acabando
the
con la vida.
Model of capitalism is,
recibió el premio Nobel de la Paz.
I think Obama isn't here yet. He got
mandaba 30,000
the Nobel Peace Prize almost the same day as he sent 30,000 soldiers off to kill innocent people in Afghanistan. And now he's coming here with the Nobel Peace Prize, the President of the United States.
And here is where the true agenda of Chavez and America's leftists came out.
Capitalism is a destructive model. Then Boff asked what we can expect from Copenhagen. We can't continue in this way. We have to change direction. For 10 years, we've been going through the greatest climate tragedy of our epoch. Our revolution seeks to win justice for the whole people. This is only possible through socialism. Socialism. The other ghost, which is probably wandering around in this room, probably a counter-ghost. Socialism. That's the direction to go. That's the way to save our planet. And capitalism is the road to hell, to destruction of the world.
This is unbelievable to me. How could this be going on?
If the destructive nature of capitalism resists, then let's fight against it and make it obey us. We won't wait with our arms crossed to see humanity die. History calls upon us to unite and to fight. If capitalism resists, then we have to give battle against capitalism and open our way to save mankind.
Are you kidding?
Let's raise our flags. Christ, Muhammad, equality, justice. Humanism. The truest and deepest humanism. If we don't do this, then the great creation of the universe, human beings, will disappear.
That's it for our Savage Review of the Week.
Savage.
It is Friday, and here is James Hurston with a report on the shenanigans going on in Hollywood.
Coming to our culture is the most expensive, most publicized, most technologically advanced movie of our time. And the film is made by one of the most talented people in Hollywood. Of course, I'm talking about the highly anticipated 3D extravaganza, Avatar. Now, there's a problem when you release a movie during the pre-Oscar season if a filmmaker wants to get some of that awards action, you know, Oscars. The content must appeal to the left-leaning critics and liberal voters that vote for the Golden Globes and the members of the Academy Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. So what did James Cameron put in his Avatar script? Well, lots of capitalist bashing, anti-military sentiments, and environmental propaganda.
What a surprise.
Yes, it's the costliest film of all time, with a $300 million production budget and another $200 million estimated for advertising. Now, do you remember when Kevin Costner won his Oscar for a movie titled Dances with Wolves? Costner may want to talk with his lawyers and look into a copyright claim, because Cameron's Avatar plot is so reminiscent of Costner's Native American flick, people around town have been referring to the movie as Dances with Smurfs. Both plots deal with a soldier who is sent on a mission to wage war on indigenous people, only to discover that the natives are so noble that the soldier can no longer fulfill his military duty. Eventually, the protagonist soldier joins with the former enemy and becomes part of their noble culture, one of their tribe, leaving his old way of life behind to become part of their morally superior world. I mean, both films had an underlying, insipid environmental message. Let me tell you about Avatar. The year is 2154. The Earth's environmental resources are almost used up. Of course, this setting is more optimistic than Al Gore's Malthusian predictions. The world is still here. And on this world, the government looks to a distant moon of Pandora, a planet of sorts, for a mineral that will solve the Earth's energy problems. The mineral in the film is named unobtainium. I kid you not, unobtainium. Evil corporate types want to strip mine Pandora, but the natives of the planet, the Na'vi, stand in the way. Of course, we evil humans seek to make war on the noble Na'vi.
Oh, like we didn't see that coming.
Because the air on Pandora is toxic to humans, the government has developed an avatar program to create clone-like avatars from both Na'vi and human DNA that will let a human transfer their consciousness into a 10-foot native blue body and explore the planet Pandora. So Jake Sully, a paraplegic Marine corporal, becomes an avatar, goes to Pandora, ostensibly to infiltrate the Na'vi and seek intelligence so we can attack them. But after Jake becomes a Na'vi avatar, he gets in trouble in the treacherous Pandoran forest, only to be rescued by a beautiful 10-foot-tall Pandoran woman, who, by the way, speaks perfect English. Of course, our hero falls deeply in love with the Pandoran woman and learns about her very noble and decent culture. So he pleads with the Earth dwellers, the humans, please work out a peaceful deal with the Na'vi. But an evil military type, a colonel, won't settle for anything less than all-out war. The hero must choose which side he will fight with, the imperialistic human warmongers or the peaceful, noble, in touch with nature Na'vi. He, of course, chooses the indigenous people and participates in enough battle scenes for Cameron to show off his special 3D special effects catalog. The filmmaker here spent so much on this film that Hollywood is holding its collective breath, wondering if Avatar will go boom or bust. Some believe a movie about an alien culture of giant blue humanoids can't make money. Others think it will save the film industry from, you know, threats of piracy and lower ticket sales. Fox, for its part, spread the risk by bringing in two other investors who are paying for about two-thirds of the mammoth production costs. And with all the technological innovations in this film, I mean, I'd be inclined to want to take a peek just for the technological 3D stuff. Too bad. In order to see the flick, audiences will have to put up with undisguised propaganda and cliché-ridden plot lines. Thankfully, one can find better ways to spend an evening, you know, like reading Band in Britain. Back to you, my friend.
Thanks for the report, James. I've talked for many years about how the only way that America can survive is if there's a strong evangelical Christian movement in America. Well, it just so happens that evangelical Christians and Jews have an important connection. The fundamentalist Christian is the Jew's best friend, and I'll let it hang in the air for the moment. So let me just tell you this. Hanukkah has a history to it. The ancient temple in Jerusalem was invaded by the Syrians. The Syrians sacked the temple. They destroyed the temple. They burned the temple. They broke all of the holy objects. When the religious Jews went back into their wrecked temple, sacked by the Syrians, they found some holy oil. And holy oil was only supposed to last for a few nights, maybe one night. They said there's only one night's worth of holy oil left. And they lit it, and it lasted for all the nights that we now have for Hanukkah, however number of candles there are in the menorah. You light one every night. And what is the metaphor of this story? That no matter how broken down you are, no matter how wrecked you are, no matter how wrecked your life is, no matter how hopeless you think you are, no matter where you are as a shipwreck and you can't go on, somewhere within you there is some holy oil. And if you can only light that oil, you'll be relit. Your whole life will relight. Find the holy oil within and light it through the spark of God. Okay. Rock and roll. I want some rock and roll, real rock and roll. Give me some real rock and roll right now on the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Well, you can rock and you can roll and do the stop and even stroll it at the hop. When the record starts spinning, you chill it, so when you're chicken at the hop. Do the dance and say some sounds. This is the Savage Nation.